Ramsey TV.
And bounce your eyes from Christian billboards. That's what I do. And now I'd like to invite, thank you, David from Cleveland up here, and we'll take a break after this. And David has a harrowing tale of Pentecostal church. Is there any other kind? We have a smart aleck in the front row. I like that too. I like that.
Can I hold this, I guess?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Where's, okay, gotta.
Don't worry, I'll find you.
All right, sweet. Hey, everyone, my name's David. I'm 24 years old and from Cleveland. And yeah, I got quite a story to tell. So the way I grew up, my parents were both religious and Pentecostals. They met at a structured church, and from age 8, I grew up in, well, it started with Pentecostal church and then moved on to less crazy, but still evangelical church. You know, my parents kind of caught on to the fake tongues thing, but they were still in that system. And yeah, so I grew up in that since age 8, and I always hated going to church, man. Every Sunday was like, please, can like mom be sick or something? It's like terrible, but like, yeah. It's like, thank God we're not going to church this week. But like, I believed in, like, I had this notion that, man, I had a kind of spiritual sense in me since I was a child. But I feel like there was always this, where God's brought me now, I see how he started it in me when I was 8 and hating to going to church. And it was always just a fake performance for me, as is for many people. And you know, I got baptized when I was 16. And, you know, looking back, what really like keeps a lot of people in church is guilt. And a lot of the guilt and shame, I mean, it's not from God, it's just from the system. And for me as a man growing up, it was always this like sexual guilt, right? It's like, how dare you, you know, being a 16-year-old boy, want to like, you know, be with women and all this sort of stuff. And it was really, really, I mean, I think that's probably one of the most damaging things when I look at like kids in these youth groups and stuff like this. It's like, man, their bodies are screaming out at them to like go and procreate, and they're told that, you know, you can have sex with one person for the rest of your life, and it has to be the person you get this state marriage license with. And this, that's not anywhere in that book. Yeah, that kind of guilt, it was always this like, just, I mean, both the sexual guilt and all sorts of guilt. It was always this like, you know, I would do really good on Monday and Tuesday and then sin a ton Wednesday to Saturday. And then like half a Saturday, but like, all right, dang, got to get back, you know, have church tomorrow. And it was that for about, I don't know, about 14 years. And then, yeah, from like, yeah. And I'm only 24, so I mean, Jesus, like half my life. So like, yeah, I ended up going to college, and I was in a campus fellowship group. I didn't go to church, but I was part of a campus fellowship group called InterVarsity. And I ended up being like the president of that. And it was, you know, I went through the 4 years, and there's still just the guilt and of churchianity, and I didn't really get to enjoy my college experience, partly because I got like a really advanced math degree, but also because the church, you know, can't go party, can't go have fun, because that's a sin. You got to abstain from all appearances of evil, right? So, you know, all this guilt just keeps on boiling up in me, and this resentment kind of, and I eventually, when God starts clicking things in my mind and about the body of Christ stuff, the way he did it through was through masculinity. Because I graduate college, I go off to work in St. Louis, Missouri, and I start going to church, and then things start clicking in my mind when I look around at the people in the church. I say, man, you know, at this time I'm really thirsting for kind of like masculine men in my life to kind of lead me and stuff like that. And I look around, man, I'm like, man, all these guys are whipped. Like every single husband's whipped. They're like either some combination of like they don't take their like fitness seriously, or they're not confident speakers. They have no conviction. The only thing they're convicted about is this like false religion, right? But just in their marriages and even the other like guys my age, I just no one inspired me really from a masculine standpoint. I was like, and then I start looking around. I'm like, man, it's like 70% women in here. And I start noticing this in all these churches. It's just such a female-run thing with these churches. I'm like, where are all the guys at? And then I go to this conference. It's called the Passion Conference for 18 to 25-year-olds in Atlanta, Georgia. And there's like 70,000 people in Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And it's this big, like, you know, evangelical conference. And I start looking around. I'm like, man, they're selling hoodies for like $55. And then I'm looking around. It's like, wow, this is like 75% like girls. And then I'm like, wait a second. Who buys everything? Women. Women make all the, you know, the majority of the consuming, you know, decisions, and they're selling. And I'm like, man, this is all just a kind of a scam for money. And they're, you know, I start looking at listening to Christian music, and I'm like, man, you know, this is kind of just all, it's a kind of a marketing scheme is the way I kind of seeing it. So, and how I ended up in the body of Christ, or I guess I've always been in it, but my realization of that was that through a guy on a Twitter account, his name was Levi Shea. He goes by Levi Shea Writes on Twitter. He was a member of the body of Christ, and he started, he recommended Clyde Pilkington's book on Due Benevolence on sex. And, you know, that started opening my eyes to like how the religious system Christianity lies to you about sex and lies to you, and creates all this terrible guilt. And I felt so free. I felt so free that now that learning about the life of my namesake David and how, you know, he was and Solomon and how the church has corrupted the Solomon's writings. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is crazy. And so at the same time, I start finding Martin's videos, and this is about 2020. So this was January of 2020. So from January 2020 to August 2020, I start finding these videos. I've got this nice job in St. Louis, Missouri, and everything's going good. I'm coming to a realization of the truth. I'm having this masculine development. I've left the church. Everything's going great, right? Well, that was the beginning of the story. And there's kind of a twist kind of here in August of about a year ago. And so it was a Thursday. And it was Thursday, August 8th, and 2020. And at that time, I think I was watching TV. And on that Saturday, my girlfriend at the time was going to come over to my apartment. I was looking for like bikinis for her to wear to go swimming. I was so pumped. And I was like, man, I got this hot girl coming over this weekend, man. What, like, I was lifting weights, like, I was just like living, and I could like kind of like live this like bachelor life kind of while all like living for God at the same time. I was like, man, I got everything right now. And then I get a phone call, or it's a voicemail, and kind of the sins of my previous life, I guess, kind of caught up with me. I got a phone call from a detective. And he's like, you know, is this David White? And it was a voicemail, so I never talked to the guy. But, like, I'd committed, like, a misdemeanor crime back in the day in Ohio. And I was like, fuck. I was like, dang it. Like, everything was going good for me in my life. And this kind of threw everything, you know, away from me. And I ended up going back to Ohio. And I was really scared at the time because I'd never been, had any issues with the law or anything. We had no idea how bad it was going to be. It ended up being a very minor thing, but, you know, I left my job, I left the girl, I left everything to come back home and deal with it. And, you know, at the time, so this legal thing kind of came up, and at the same time, I was, you know, finding Martin's videos. So, you know, my family kind of conflated the two things. They're like, oh, you're messing up with the law, and now you don't believe in Christianity anymore. So, you know, these things must be conflated. So they're like, oh, we need to fix you. And it was a very emotional time. It was very scary. And because I don't know if I was going to go to jail or something or what was going to happen. So looking back, I don't know how I agreed to this. But so my dad, you know, I love my dad, but my dad, he's in my life and everything. I trust him very much. My dad struggled a lot with drug addiction and lots of different things. And In like 1992, he went to something called Teen Challenge, and Teen Challenge is a alcohol and drug rehab, but is through the Assembly of God, a Pentecostal, you know, denomination, and it's like a one-year program where you go there and they like fix your drug addiction through making you a Pentecostal, and you know, so my dad's like, you know, I went through this one-year program, and you know, it kind of worked for him. You know, some people, they just need a system in their life, and they cope with life through that. And he's like, you know what, you can, they kind of wanted to hide me from the police a little bit. So it was out of the state, and it would fix, it's gonna hide you from this law thing, and it'll fix your like crazy beliefs. And yeah, at the time I was like, I trust my dad. So on August 20th, I enrolled in the Western Michigan Adult and Teen Challenge in Muskegon, Michigan. And it was kind of like, you know, if everyone's seen The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, in the beginning, he's like, I got in one little fight and my mom got scared, and I'm moving with my uncle and auntie in Bel-Air. For me, it was like, I got in one little fight, my mom got scared, and I'm living with 30 alcoholics and drug addict Pentecostals in Muskegon, Michigan. It's kind of like the same thing, slightly different. But yeah, so there it was. There it was something, man. It was the craziest experience of my life. I spent 2.5 months at Western Michigan Adult and Teen Challenge from August 20th to November 3rd, Election Day, 2020. I went to Pentecostal church every day for 2.5 months after watching 7 months of Martin's videos. All right, and the thing is like, you know, I watched the videos, but like, it was all very new to me. Like, someone saying, what, the Trinity is not real? I was like, what? Like, the Trinity was all I knew. So a lot of this stuff I'd seen in videos, I'd read some books, but it wasn't like deep in my brain, like maybe some of yours, or people have studied it. So I remember the day before I left, I read on Martin's blog about his free will. He has an article about free will. And all I remembered was just the verse references in my brain, because they did not allow me. I had no internet access. I tried to bring in Martin's books and other books from people who believe in universal reconciliation, and they banned them and locked them in a closet, so I couldn't read them. All I had was an ESV Bible and a concordance, and I knew that Pentecostalism was wrong, but it was like incredibly like gaslighting for me for them to say like, to teach on every single day hearing about eternal conscious torment for 2.5 months. And like, my Bible says hell, and like, I gotta remember, and I don't even have like a Greek version or anything, so I have to like, man, I had to come up with everything on my own. And all I had to do all day was kind of study the Bible. So I spent 2.5 months just trying to figure out everything on my own with very little. And you know, it kind of reminds me of like how it must have been years and years ago for those, you know, before we had a concordant version, right? Like, when I think about like, say, the life of Martin Luther, right? Like, man, Luther had a lot of things wrong, but he got a lot of things right for where the like, stuff he had, you know? And every single day I had Pentecostal church, but God was looking out for me the whole time. I had everyone gets a big brother in the program. And usually they have like, you know, the good Pentecostal, like, you know, students be the big brother. But like, everyone was busy that day except for like the one guy who railed against the system. And his name was John. He was 60 years old. And John was a free thinker. He's a patriot, man. And he just like, right when I meet him, he starts telling me about, you know, it's talking about the government and how, and all this sorts of stuff. And he didn't really understand like universal reconciliation, but he was a free thinking spirit, man. And God was looking out for me, because like, he was the only one in there who outside of me knew that this system was kind of messed up. So, but just by sheer chance that he was my big brother, and God, he looked out for me. And eventually I got kicked out of the program because I railed against it so much and told them that hell isn't real. God saves everyone. There's two gospels. I remember in Galatians, I figured it out for myself in Galatians when he says, you know, I had the gospel of the circumcision for like James and John, and then Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision. I'm like, wow. Like, I kind of figured out some of the stuff on my own without, just because, but I had like an inkling of the truth from watching the videos. Like, man, I know that there's something wrong with this. So ever since then, so I got kicked out, but I was able to like, you know, share the message with a lot of the other, you know, the people in there who are struggling. Like, man, this, like, a lot of people in there are like, man, this is kind of messed up. And I was able to at least like start explaining like, hey, these are some Bible verses where, man, this is definitely not true and things are not lining up. So they eventually kicked me out, and my legal issues have since been resolved, and I'm here, and now God's given me an even better job, and now I'm really emboldened to like really hone out and figure out all the truth and live a life of trying to just be rock solid about that truth. But, you know, through the whole journey, God's, you know, he's pointed out kind of, he's brought me through the religion. I mean, as is for many of you, he's brought us through the religious system. And a lot of times I'm like, man, that seems like a waste of the 25 years. And for some of you, it's a waste of 50 years. For me, it's a waste of 70 years, right? But it wasn't a waste, right? Like, he brought us through that, the falsehood, so we can really appreciate the truth. And you're talking about God, he's a God of contrast, right? And I'd never have an appreciation for this truth if I didn't have to spend 2.5 months going to Pentecostal church every single day. So that's my story. Thanks.
Thank you. That was awesome. Thanks. Oh, wow. But what happened to the girl in the bikini? Talk to me later about that. But what a great... We're going to take a break, but what a great testimony. I mean, yeah, you were so eloquent about that, and I think it rings true. Everybody's sitting here and hear a pin drop because everybody went through something like that, you know, and it's crazy how God has to bring you through that, but he breaks and he brings back to life. A fellow Ohioan there, I didn't know him until today. That was beautiful, David. Thank you. All right, we'll take a 10-minute break, and then we'll make up the time until lunch somehow. Thank you.